Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Tzadi Test. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by BKNW members, L'Zecher Nishmas, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Neshama Shevin Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Chesed and Beis, and the first thing we're going to discuss is what the Mishnah talks about. If a person can stand in one Rishus and handle items in another Rishus, you're in a Rishus HaYachad, but you're moving things around that are in a Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. And up until the Mishnah, Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to fill in the details of the various cases in our Mishnah where a person standing in one Rishus transfers things in another Rishus, or urinates, or spits into another Rishus, or simply walks in a Rishus Rabbim with saliva in his mouth. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the Isser of standing in one Rishus and drinking in another Rishus. And the Amoraim are going to have Machlokas, where the same Isser applies when one of those Rishuyos is a Karmelis. When you're not dealing with a Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Rabbim, is it the same problem? Do we also have an Isser when one of those Rishuyos is a Karmelis? Then on Amud Beis we're going to have several Mishnayis. The first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about whether there's any problem of Hotza'ah when you take water as it spills out of a gutter and you catch it out of the gutter. Is that a violation of Hotza'ah? And the second Mishnah on Beis is going to discuss taking water from a bar that has a 10 tafach wall around it into your house and dropping things from your house into a garbage dump that's 10 tefachim tall, where all of these areas are a Rishus HaYachid. Is there any issue of Hotza'ah in these cases? So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Chesam Beis. Says the Mishnah, Omer Adam Rishus HaYachid Metaltel Rishus Rabim. A person could be standing in Rishus HaYachid in his house or on the roof of his house, and he could be moving things around in the Rishus HaRabim, and you don't have to worry that maybe he's going to take the item in from the Rishus Rabim to the Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaRabim Metaltel Rishus HaYachid. He could do the opposite as well. If he's standing in Rishus Rabim, he can move around items in Rishus HaYachid. As long as he's careful not to move the item more than 4 amos. Pashtus is, and really it has to be, that this line is going on the first case, where you're Omid versus Yachar and Metaltel versus Sarabim. That's where you need to be careful not to move it more than 4 amos, because then you're going to be moving it more than 4 amos in a Rishus HaRabim. The case where you're Omid Rishus HaRabim and Metaltel Rishus HaYachid, no, in that case you don't have to be careful that you're not moving it more than 4 amos. You're allowed to move things more than 4 amos in a Rishus HaYachid. The Rashba points out that you do see from here that L'chadchila you're allowed to move an object less than 4 amos in a Rishus HaRabim. I, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Gimel, tells us that you're not supposed to carry things pachos midalad amos. If you need to get something from point A to point B and it's more than 4 amos away, you shouldn't take it less than 4 amos at a time. Yeah, that's multiple trips of less than 4 amos where we're concerned that at some point you're going to go more than 4 amos. But if it's only one time, and that one time you're carrying it less than 4 amos, that is heter gamur. That is not going to be a violation of an iser. It's l'chara, not even chatzi shir asur min atara. The question is, why isn't it chatzi shir? So that's what they say, chatzi malacha, but not a chatzi shir. That it's that the dalet amos is not the shir for the malacha, it's the definition of the malacha, because that's what the Ran writes in Masechta Shabbos, because the dalet amos is the makom, and really hotza'ah means to take something from one makom to another. Dalet amos versus rabim is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that it's halacha mefareshes, that the dalet amos is the makom, so to carry it beyond dalet amos is moving it to another makom. Within the dalet amos, you haven't moved it to another makom at all, and that's what the Rambam paskins in the 12th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, as the Mishnah Berurah writes as well, la halacha, that carrying something less than dalet amos versus rabim one time is not even an iser derabanan. Lo yamar adam rishus yachid v'yashdin rishus rabim. A person should not be standing in rishus yachid urinating into rishus rabim, or rishus rabim yashdin rishus yachid, or vice versa. V'chein lo yarok, and not only urinating, spitting as well. Rabbi Yudah me afmish and nitash ruka b'piv lo yahalich arba amos ad shiyarok. Not only that, if a person has saliva in his mouth that's gathered in his mouth, he should not walk 4 amos until he spits out that saliva. The Mishnah Berurah points out he also shouldn't go from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid or Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim while the saliva is in his mouth. I mean, obviously, what we're saying right now is that gathered saliva in the mouth is considered something that you're carrying. So if you're not allowed to carry that 4 amos from Rosh Hashanah, you're also not allowed to carry that from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or vice versa. In the Lashon HaZav, he wonders, why then didn't the Mishnah say that? Meaning the whole rest of the Mishnah is talking about Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't really talking about being Maver Dalar on Rosh Hashanah. So you want to tell me that when you have saliva gathered in your mouth, that's considered carrying, so why not give the case that we've been talking about of going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? So he says, maybe it's more common that a person walks with saliva in their mouth 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah than going from one place to the other. Difficult. Either way, it's somewhat difficult. Rabbi Yehonasan points out that there's a Mishnah Masech HaShabbos that if a person is motzi mirshus l'rshus with an object in his mouth, he's potter. So why over here when saliva is in your mouth are you going to be chayiv? So you have to say, Rabbi Yehonasan points out that no, the reason you're potter is because it's not the derech bekach, it's not the derech to carry things in your mouth, but it is very much the derech to carry saliva in your mouth. So it all depends on the item. Now from the lashon of the Mishnah, this last halacha was Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now the Rashbam in Maseches Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Chav Beis tells us a klal that whenever a Tana is introduced in the Mishnah as Omar Rabbi so and so versus Rabbi so and so Omer, so that makes a difference. Omar means that he's just adding on to what the previous Tana said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when you have the name before the Omer, is showing a contrast to what the previous Tana says, that it's a machlokas. So you read the Mishnah, it sounds like he's just adding another halacha. No, not adding another halacha. According to Rashbam Bav Basra, it sounds like there's a machlokas that Rabbi Yehuda's in disagreement with the Tanakama, and the Tanakama would not have a problem with a person walking around with saliva in their mouth. And that's what Tosfos points out on Tzadites Amud Aleph and Dibra Maskel Hu, that the Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos assumes the same way, and the Bar Tanura as well, that we don't paskel like Rabbi Yehuda. Why wouldn't you paskel like Rabbi Yehuda? It must be because someone argues. It must be because the Tanakama argues. Interestingly, the Tur does paskel like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a machlokas in the Nose Kalim in the Tur. Why the Tur paskels like Rabbi Yehuda? The Beis Yosef writes that it must be that the Tur holds that the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda do not have any machlokas over here, and that's why he paskels like Rabbi Yehuda, because there is no bar plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. The Bach, however, says no, even the Tur understands that the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda are in disagreement with each other. But we have a klal about when we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnayis, that when, I'm sorry, because they're in disagreement with each other, and the reason that we have to interpret that they're in disagreement with each other is because whenever Rabbi Yehuda is ba lefarish, it always uses the term emasai, bameh. We don't have any of those terminologies over here, so it seems that he's not being ba lefarish divrei chachamim, he's coming to be cholik al divrei chachamim, and af al bikein, the Tor paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, against the chachamim. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Masir Rav Chinah Bar Shlam Yelichia Bar Rav Kamei De Rav, Lo Yamar Adam Rosh Hashiachid Yitaltel B'Rosh Hasharabim, that a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashiachid and move items around in Rosh Hashiachid because of a gezeira that you might make a mistake and bring the items in from the Rosh Hashiachid into the Rosh Hashiachid, which is directly against our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah said that Omer Adam Rosh Hashiachid Yitaltel B'Rosh Hashiachid. So he taught this Braisa that says, not so. So Amalei Shavkas Rabban Vavad Krameir, so Chia Bar Rav said to Rav Chinna, you're leaving aside the sheet of the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakama in our Mishnah, who we paskin like, and you're following the sheet of Rav Meir, who makes such similar gezeros. Where does Rav Meir make such a similar gezeros? So the way Rashi understands, this is referring to a Mishnah we're going to have on Daf Kuf Aleph Amar Aleph, that he doesn't allow someone who's standing in Rosh Hashiachid to take a mafteach that's placed in Rosh Hashiachid to open the door in the Rosh Hashiachid, because it's a gezera, he might forget, and he might put the mafteach into the Rosh Hashiachid, that you might carry the mafteach from the Rosh Hashiachid into the Rosh Hashiachid. So he makes such gezeros that when you're at the threshold from one Rosh Hashiachid to another, we know that a mayor is the one that makes such gezeros, so he might accidentally move items from one to the other. So says the Gemara, who savar, but Rav Chinna Bar Shlamya held, me de sefer Rabbi Meir, reishanami Rabbi Meir, from the fact that the sefer of our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah and Daf Kof Aleph, about opening the door with the mafteach and another Rosh Hashiachid, from the fact that that's Rabbi Meir, and he says that we have to be choshesh, that you might come to carry from one Rosh Hashiachid to the other, it must be our Mishnah also goes like Rabbi Meir. What do you mean it must be our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir? Our Mishnah said explicitly that you're allowed to be in one Rishos and move things in another Rishos. No, what it means is that we have to change the girsa in our Mishnah. And instead of the Mishnah saying Yamod Adam, it should be Lo Yamod Adam, that a person cannot stand in one Rishos and move items in another Rishos. He must have had such a girsa, and that's why he taught Brisos that bore that out, that our Mishnah is actually saying the opposite of what we thought it was saying. Says Marva Lohi, that is not correct. Sefer Rabbi Meir, Vereisha Rabbanan. It could very well be that the Mishnah and Daf Kuf Aleph assumes like Shita Rabbi Meir that we're going to make such gezeros, and the Reisha, our Mishnah, assumes like the Shita of the Rabbanan that we don't make such gezeros. So we said that if a person is standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachad and he's manipulating items in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's fine. He just can't move them more than four amos. So the idea of is talking about a person who's on the roof of his house, which is way off the ground. That's the assumption over here, the way Rashi explains it. So when he's being metaltal items in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim below, he's probably lifting them more than 10 tefachim off the ground as he's moving them. Now you have to realize that more than 10 tefachim off the ground of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has a status of a makom patur. And what did we say? That if he's standing on his roof and he's moving the items down in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even though he's lifting them more than 10 tefachim off the ground, he should not move them more than 4 amos. So can we derive anything about carrying 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim derech makom p'tur from our Mishnah? Because if that's actually what the guy is doing, that he's lifting it off the ground more than 10 tefachim, he's bringing it into a makom p'tur, then moving it 4 amos over and putting it down. And still the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. Ha-hotzi chayev chatos. The implication of the Mishnah is that if you do that, you're going to be chayev chatos. So apparently, being maver dal rams brusha sram, even through a makom p'tur, is nisadaraisa. So lema misayei leila rava. This is a raya to rava. To amar rava, because rava says back at the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos, hamaver chayvitz mitzchilas arba l'sof arba v'viru darach halav chayiv. That rava held that if you carry something from one spot of Rosh Hashanah to another more than 4 amos away, but you carried it over your head more than 10 tefachim off the ground, you carried it high up more than 10 tefachim off the ground, you're going to be chayiv chatos, even though between the akira and the hanacha the item went through a makom p'tur, you're still going to be chayiv. So that's exactly what our Mishnah is saying. So it says, well, wait, mi katani, does our Mishnah say imhotzi chayiv chatos, that if you do this you're necessarily chayiv chatos? Dilma, maybe the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to do it because it's an issur derabanan. Not that there's chayiv chatos. Maybe in a chinami you're only chayiv chatos if you carry dalar on the spurs of shab all within 10 tefachim of the ground. Ikadamri, another version of this discussion is that the initial diuk was hahotzi patra velaser. That the implication of our Mishnah is that if you do this hotza'a, it's only an issur derabanan. And therefore we ask it as lemetami tiyufte derava. This is therefore against Rava. Because Rava says that when you bring something dalar arms and Rosh Hashanah through a makom p'tur, you're going to be chayiv. So says Rav, mikatani hotzi patra v'laser. No, that diuk is incorrect. Also, meaning we don't know which way to be medayik in our Mishnah. Well, the Mishnah says don't do it. It does it necessarily say that if you do it, it's only an issur derabanan? Dilmim hotzi chayiv chatos. Maybe if you move the item more than 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim by lifting it up more than 10 tefachim off the ground, maybe you taka ar chayiv chatos, like the shita of Rava. The Rambam paskins like Rava. So it seems that the maskana he holds like the maskana of the second of this ikada amri, that maybe imhotzi chayiv chatos and Rava is really correct. So you can't really be medayik one way or the other from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just says don't do it. We don't know whether don't do it means and if you do you're chayiv chatos, or if it means and if you do you're pater aval asir. We then say that a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and urinate into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or vice versa, and the same is true with spitting. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hishtin Varak Chayev Chatos. If he did that, then he's going to be Chayev Chatos, meaning that's actual Hotza'a, Hachnasa, to spit or urinate from one Rishos to the other. Now, generally, in order to be Chayev for Hotza'a, there has to be Chashivus to the item that you are being Motzi. What exactly is the Chashivus of the Meiraglayim? So the Chashivus of the Meiraglayim is the fact that Meiraglayim was one of the detergents. The Mishnah Maseches Shabbos HaPeites tells us, and Maseches Nida, that Meiraglayim is a type of detergent that they would use to get stains out, to get difficult stains out of clothing. So Meraglayim has some sort of value. The Lechem Shemayim just points out that according to Tosos and Shabbos Tzadi, Tosos there says that the first 3 days after the Meraglayim exits the body, it's not Ro'i L'Kivos, it's not usable at all. So how could Rav Yosef say that if you're Mashdim Yerushus Rushus, you're Chayiv Chatzos, at the time of the Hashtana, they're not Ro'i for Kivos, they're not Ro'i for anything? So you have to say that even though you're not going to be mechayiv him based on the meraglayim being roi l'kibus, but they're no different than mei shofchim, than water that comes pouring out of your gutters. What are you going to do with water pouring out of your gutters? That's also you're going to be chayiv for motzi revius of them on the rishus acharis on Shabbos. And what's their chashivus? Their chashivus is the Gemara says on daf ayin ches that in Shabbos that you can legabel ben esatit. You can use them to mix cement with. So you can do the same thing with Meraglayim. What about Roke? So Rav Yossi says by the Roke also you carry Mirshus Rishus Yechayiv. L'chora Roke is less than a Revius. When you're talking about saliva, you're talking about less than a Revius, right? Malol Lugmav is Rov Revius. So how much Roke are you going to fit in your mouth at a time? In YU, they wanted to make the corona testing easier and they're doing random testing as guys come in and out of the different buildings. So you have to get tested. Everyone's getting tested a couple times a week, so they thought less invasive than the thing up the nose is a saliva test. They didn't realize just how much saliva they need for the saliva test. They have to sit there for 5, 6, 7 minutes just to get a quantity of saliva is something. So a revius of roke, what kind of revius of how you can get a revius of roke? And the Mishnah Masech Shabbos tells us kol mashkin is revius. The shear of all mashkin is revius. So you have to say that that roke is an exception, that since a person needs to expel it at a certain point, he needs to get rid of the roke. So that becomes chashuv as far as he's concerned. So anyway, so Rav Yosef tells us that if you were hishtin v'rak, if a person did urinate or spit from one rishus to the other, chayiv chatas. Ayiv abin akira v'anacha me'al gabi makom arba'a. Don't you need an akira and anacha from a place that's four tvachim, and wherever the roke is leaving your body from your mouth, or whatever the meraglayim is leaving your body from, it's less than 4x4 tvachim. V'leka, you don't have 4x4 tvachim. And it's the gemara, machshavto meshavi le'makom. The fact that you need to uproot this meraglayim or this roke from your body makes it that that's considered a place that's 4x4 tvachim, even though the physical reality is that it's less than 4x4 tvachim. Where do we ever find such a thing? That machshava, the fact that you are very intent on moving something from a place to a place makes that place a chashva makam, meaning what we're trying to say is 4x4 is not automatic. 4x4 is usually how we define a makam chashuv. But if you have something that has chashivus, even if it's less than 4x4, that also is a makam. So chashivus could be granted by a person's being absolutely intent on moving something from a place to a place. So dilote mahachi, how do I know that the machshava makes a difference? Because if you don't say that, hadam arava, says in Masech HaShabbos, Zarak v'nach b'fi ha-kelev or b'fi ha-kivshan, if a person takes an object and he throws it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah into a dog's mouth or into the opening of a furnace, chayiv chatos, he's chayiv chatos. It's considered that there's a hanacha. Ay, v'abinu hanacha al-gabi makam arba'a v'leko, but don't you need the hanacha to be on a makam arba'a? The dog's mouth is not 4x4 tvachim el machshavta m'shavi le'mekom. It must be that your machshava, by you're trying to throw the ball 4 amos to the dog, for the dog to catch it, so that makes it a makom. Hachanami machshavta m'shavi le'mekom. So we hear also the machshava with of trying to be oker from your mouth or be oker the meraglayim from your body, that makes it a makom. That makes it considered a makom. It's as if you did an akira from a makom that's dalal dal tvachim. Tosus rid points out in explaining Rashi, and Tosos says it's on their own in Dibra Maskel Machshavto, that it's not enough that you want to be oker or maniach. It has to be that you want it dafka in that place, that you need a dafka in that location. You throw food to a dog, you have hana'ah from the fact that the dog is eating it. You throw an object b'fiyah kivshan, you have hana'ah from the fact that it's getting burnt in that spot. If one is mash or rak, he has hana'ah because he's cleansing his body. He dafka wants it off of his body. That is, it can't just be that you're interested in moving it, it's that you're interested in moving it dafka to that place. That's when we say that the makshava is makshiv that place. as a makom. By Rava, who brishus yachid upi amu brishus Rav mahu basar akira zinan abasi yitzia zinan. What if the person's body is largely in the rishus yachid, but the pi amu where the urine is going to come out from is in the rishus harabim already? So do we go where the akira happened from, the akira's meraglayim, which is inside his body, and that happened in the rishus yachid, and therefore he's going to be chayiv for otzaa? Or do we not look at where it was uprooted inside of his body, but where the point of exit from his body, and that was already in Rosh Hashanah, in which case he's not going to be chayiv. So teku, the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved suffix. So la halacha, since it's a suffix, the Rambam paskins haya omei brishosu pi amu brishoshnia vehishtin ba pater. The Rambam paskins pater, which of course means pater in terms of yirach chayiv chatas, but asur midrabanan, that it's asur midrabanan to do so. Okay, so Mishnah then went on to say, V'chein lo yarok, a person should also not spit from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda says that even when you have saliva gathered in your mouth, you shouldn't walk four amos in Rosh Hashanah with saliva gathered in your mouth, because that's going to be a violation of being maver dalar amos b'rishos harabim. So says Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as soon as saliva is gathered in your mouth, it's considered that it's meant to be it's a like a foreign substance in your body that's like a masui that you want to spit out, that you want to expel. Is that really so? Even though you haven't swished it around your mouth, but don't we have a Mishnah in Meseches Kelim when it talks about the saliva that's in your mouth and whether it has the status of a mashke that's machshir lekabel tuma? You need one of the Zayin mashkim in order to come in contact with food, in order for the food to become hukshar lekabel tuma. So your ochel dveil, a person's eating a dried fig, biyadayim misuavos, and his hands are tame. Stam yadayim without netilas yadayim lechamar goes and have a din of sheni letuma. So mela, his hands are always going to have the ability to be metame truma. So he's eating a fig, not just any fig, a truma fig that's in his mouth. His hands are a sheni letuma. So if he touches that fig after the fig is huchshar lekabel tuma, then he's going to be metame the fig. V'hichnas yado l'toch piv, and he puts his hand inside of his mouth, litol tzror, to remove a rock or something from his mouth. Rameir metame. Rameir says the dvela becomes tame because the rope that's gathered in his mouth at the time that he's chewing is a mashke that's machshir the dvela lekabel tuma, so it becomes tame. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's tar. The spit in his mouth is not considered a mashka, it's part of his body. A mashka has to be something that's an independent entity. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he pech batame, lo he pech batar. Rabbi Yehuda says it all depends. Have you been swishing it around your mouth? If you swished it around your mouth, then it's independent from your body and it's considered a mashke. It's machshir lekabel tuma. But if you haven't been swishing it around your mouth, then it's just part of your body. Yet in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda just says that saliva that's in your mouth, you're chayav for walking dalet amos. No qualification that it needs to be hifechba, that you need to be swishing it around your mouth. So what's going on? Why the stira? Why does Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah not make that qualification? A couple of possibilities. Am Rabbi Yochanan mechlefes hashita. One possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind from what he said in our Mishnah, and he taka holds like what it says over there in Kalim, that it's only once he's hibechba that we assume that it has the din of a mashke. Alternatively, Reish Lakish Amar Liolam Lo Tachlif. No, Rabbi Yehuda didn't necessarily change his mind. Hachamayaskinan Bekicho. There's a difference between saliva and phlegm. That when it comes to phlegm, that even if you were not hipichba, then it's omid lahotza'a, it's considered a foreign substance, and that's what he's talking about in our Mishnah, where he doesn't need to say that you're swishing it around. If there's phlegm in your mouth, you walk for amos, you're chayiv. In the Mishnah in Kalim, where he says, oh, only if you swish it around is in a mashke, that's talking about saliva. Vatanya, but that doesn't work either, because Rabbi Yehuda Omer kicho v'nitlash, my love, rok v'nitlash. When it says kicho v'nitlash, so you can't walk dalet amos, doesn't he mean both things, that it could be kicho or rope? So lo, kicho v'nitlash. No, he means only kicho v'nitlash, you don't go dalet amos. V'atani Rabbi Yehuda omer kicho v'nitlash v'chein roko v'nitlash v'alechad ramos hat shiyaruk. But didn't we say that Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no difference between phlegm and saliva, that either way you're not allowed to go dalet amos? Elim echavarta kedushin min akara. So you have to say that, go back to Rabbi Yochanan's original answer. Right, what was the answer? That Rabbi Yehuda must have changed his mind from what he said in our Mishnah. That in our Mishnah he just said that whenever saliva is in your mouth you're not allowed to go dalet amos. No, you learn Maseches Kelim, you see that he changed his mind. That it's only if the saliva had gathered up to the point where he was swooshing it around his mouth, only then can you not carry dalet amos. But there is no difference between saliva and phlegm when it comes to those halachos. So says the Gemara, Amrei Shlakish, once we're on the topic of spitting phlegm and spitting saliva, keach b'fnei rabo chayiv misa. If a person spits out phlegm in front of his rebbe, he's chayiv misa. Shnemar kol misanei avu maves. Pasuk Mishnah says, al tikri misanei ela masnei. The pasuk is not talking about people who hate Torah themselves. It's talking about people who cause others to hate Torah. And the Torah is saying that someone who's kach b'fnei rabo, who does things that are disgusting in front of his Rebbe, and through that is mezalzel in the Kavanat Torah, is mechayiv misa, because he does these disgusting things that show a complete lack of Kavanat Torah. Frak the Gemara v'amenas anus, but he's an anus, he needs to get the phlegm that's in his mouth, out of his mouth, meaning he's sick, he's coughing up phlegm. So keach v'rik ha'amrinan. No, if he just has phlegm in his mouth, so that's not what we're talking about. It's talking about where he's spits it out in front of his Rebbe. That you're not an anus for. You could have done it after you walk away from your Rebbe. You could have spit it into a handkerchief or something. You could have figured something else out. By Dafka spitting it out in front of his Rebbe, that's what we're saying is fundamentally problematic to do such a thing. The Achronim work on how we know from this Pasuk that it's Masniyai, meaning is there any indication in the Pasuk that it's not talking about a person who hates Torah himself, but a person who's causes others to hate Torah, so the Achronim work out that question. Now, if the chiv is for rekika, because he should have walked over to the side and now or spit it into a cloth or something like that, why does the Gemara say kiach b'fnei rabo chayiv misa? The dafka kiach b'fnei rabo chayiv misa. It should have said rak b'fnei rabo chayiv misa. I mean, if we're really not distinguishing between rak and kiach, and kiach between saliva and phlegm, why does the dafka give an example of phlegm? So a couple of terutzim that are given. One possibility the Achronim suggest is that it could be that rok stam is not so ma'us, it's not so disgusting, and there's really no isra of rekika b'fnei rabo, as opposed to phlegm, that's where it's really disgusting. Or it could be the opposite, that the Gemara Dafka picks the greater chiddush, which is kiach, that even though it was ba'al yedei ones, still you're not allowed to spit it out, but saliva was not ba'al yedei ones, saliva you have no reason to spit out, and so kal v'chomer to spit out saliva would be worse. So a big difference whether you're actually allowed to spit in front of your Rebbe. Why is this such a matter of import, whether you are or not allowed to spit in front of another mechubad, in front of your Rebbe? Because there is a minhag that's quoted by Poskim that people used to spit, and I think Chabad, they do this by Chabad, that they spit when they say Shehem Shachem Lehavul V'rik Mespalim El Yoshia during Aleinu, that they spit during Aleinu. So there are discussions. Why in the world would they do that? Where does that minhag come from? So the Shla in his Hagos to the Sefer Emek Bracha of his father says he doesn't like this minhag. He says Ktsas Min Amonim Noagim L'Haki Rok Ba'Aleinu Ve'Niyodim L'Mehim Mekiim. They're spinning. They have no idea why they're spinning. V'Ruba D'Ruba B'Zman Azeh Sheinim Vinim Klal Lashon Hakodesh Mekiim K'Shom V'Anachnu Korim. And a lot of people don't even understand Lashon Hakodesh, and they're spinning when they say V'Anachnu Korim. And can you imagine anything more inappropriate than that? When they say V'Anachnu Korim Mishach, right? So that they would spit dafka then. He says, and also Aleinu was nitkan al yidei Yeshua ben Nun, which there were of the Avodah Zara and Mazalos that don't even exist bismanenu. So probably Kechol Amonam was a reference to those kinds of Avodah Zara, says the Shah Kadosh. So what are we doing nowadays? Nowadays this has no shaychus, and it's only going to cause Eva if people think that we're talking about them when we're not in fact talking about them. The Taz, however, whatsoever is matzdik the minhag. The Taz in Yerdeis from Klavayin Tes says that we spit before v'anachnu korim, and we don't have to be choshesh for shem shemayim ala rakika, that we're going to associate the spitting with the shem shemayim, because the reason that you're not allowed to be maskei shem shemayim ala rakika is because it's a bizayon takarosh baruchu. But over here, everyone knows that you're trying to be mevaza the avodah zara, and then only mention afterwards kvod shemayim. And the minhag is already quoted in Minhagi Mahariel that when he would say lehevel varik, he would spit once, just like what he calls minhag ha'olam. So this it's an old minhag lehevel varik. Many understand to dafka be a reference to Christianity, that varik is gematria yeshu, that they understood that was that the shem shachem lehevel varik. So you can imagine that over the centuries, Jews had major problems with the way Christians treated us, and the whole theology came from a corruption of Judaism. So that was something that was always much more. We have a much more strong knee-jerk reaction. We don't believe in anything but Judaism, but we have a much stronger negative reaction to Christianity than we do with Islam, for example. That's what the Rambam passes, that Islam is not avodah zarah. Christianity is avodah zarah. It's a question now whether at the end of days, Rav Shachter pointed out in the parsha this past week that in this past week's parsha, Yishmael and Yitzchak go to bury Avram, and Yitzchak is mentioned before Yishmael, even though Yishmael is older. So Rashi comments that Yishmael does tshuva before he dies. So he said that you see from here that it's always all of Bereshis and myself Avosim and Labanim, that you get the impression that the Melchemes Gog Magog is not going to involve Yishmael at all, that Yishmael is going to do tshuva, Yishmael is going to make peace with Yitzchak. Yishmael, the Yishmaelim are going to make peace. So you see it already happening with the UAE, with Bahrain, probably the bigger problems are going to come from not from Yishmael, they're going to come from Esav. Okay, so no, says the Mishnah, who knows, we'll see what happens. So says the Mishnah, L'yamar adam rishus yachad v'yishter b'rishus rabim. A person shouldn't stand in rishus yachad and drink in rishus rabim, b'rishus rabim v'yishter b'rishus yachad, or stand in rishus rabim and drink in rishus yachad. Elim kein hichnis rosh of rubo l'makam shu shosa. Oh, by the way, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks made the same ha'ara about Yishmael. He didn't add in the second part that there's going to be a Melchemes Gog u'Magog, it's probably going to come from the Christians, but he did make that highlight that same point about all right, anyway, so a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashanah and drink in Rosh Hashanah, or in Rosh Hashanah and drink in Rosh Hashanah. He should stick his head and the majority of his body into the place that he's drinking from. And the same is true by a wine press. What's that about? What's the same is true by a wine press? So we'll see in the Gemara what that's about. So it says Gemara, Reish Rabban and the Sefer Rameir, the previous Mishnah is going like the Shita, the Rabban who disagree with Rameir. And our Mishnah assumes like Rav Meir, that's a little bit of a dochak. Meaning, we said that in the previous Mishnah, a person could stand in Rosh Hashanah and be metalta in Rosh Hashanah, and we said that's going like the Rabbanan, that we're not choshesh, that you're going to move things around, and that's against Rabbi Meir, that you're not allowed to stand in one Rosh Hashanah and move the mafteach, because you might come to move things. So in our Mishnah, it says that you're not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah and drink in Rosh Hashanah. Sounds much more aligned with Rabbi Meir, that we're not comfortable with a person standing on the threshold of one Rosh Hashanah to another and moving items. So Rav Yosef b'chafetzin shetzrichel lo v'divrei hakol. No, it could be that when it comes to something that you need, even the chum are going to be moda that it's we're not happy about you moving things around in another rishus when you're standing in one rishus, because if it's an item that you're using, you're drinking it, so it's obviously something that you need, then there's a much greater concern that you're going to come to carry it inside. So Yibayilu, karmelis mai, what would be the din if it was a karmelis? Do we have a similar gezeira that you're not allowed to stand in a Rosh Hashanah and drink in a karmelis? So Amar Abai, yeah, exactly the same. Amar Rava, he gufa gzeira, v'ana nekav nigzar gzeira. The gzeira, Rava says, can't be. It's initially, the whole thing is a gzeira, that you might come to bring it in. But the whole idea of carrying from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah in the first place is only a gzeira. So I'm going to make a gzeira that you can't do things that might lead you to carry from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah. We don't make a gzeira le gzeira. Why don't we make a gzeira le gzeira? Pasuk says, v'shmartim is mishmarti. The Gemara Ma'id Katan Darshins Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. So the Rishon point out that yes, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti V'lo Mishmeres L'Mishmeres, that we don't make gzeros. That's what Rashi writes in Maseches Beitza. There's a question, we don't make a gzera l'gzera. Does that mean we're not authorized to make a gzera l'gzera? Or does that mean that we generally the Rabbanan chose not to make a gzeirah l'gzeirah. It could be that it's a limitation on rabbinic power, that they can't make as many gzeirahs as they want. There are exceptions to the rule. The Gemara will often say, kulecha the gzeirah, iloha, lo kaimaha, that sometimes in order for one gzeirah to stand, they needed to make a second gzeirah. But anyway, this is machlokes Abaye and Rava. Does the same thing apply by a karmelis? Amar Abaye mina, mina la, how do I know that it does apply to by a karmelis? Mi dektani v'chein bagas. It says v'chein bagas. What do you think a gas is? That's a karmelis. And we're saying the same halacha we said in the beginning of the Mishnah about leaning over and drinking applies when you lean over a gas, which is a karmelis. Rava Amar Lin Meiser. Rava says, no, b'chein b'gas is about once you remove something from the wine press, it becomes chayv and maestros. So what if you lean over the gas and you drink from there? So maybe it's not yet chayv and maestros. That's what it's telling us. B'chein Amar Avsheshos, b'chein b'gas, then you maestro. Nothing to do with otzah and Shabbos. It's not, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Maestros, shosin al gas, a person is allowed to stand by a gas and drink from the wine before it goes, it drips down into the bar that's at the bottom of the wine press. Bein b'chamin, bein b'tzonein, whether he dilutes the wine with warm water or cold water, or potter, he's not chayiv maestro, it's Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Lazar ben Tzadok mechayiv. Rebbe Lazar ben Tzadok says he's chayiv as soon as he diluted it with any water. V'chamar melchamin chayiv al tzonein potter, m'nei shamachzir as hamoser, that if he diluted it with warm water, he's going to be chayiv in maestros, because he can't pour that back. That has been removed from the gas and will stay removed. But if you dilute it with cold water, you're potter in maestros, because you could always put it back. So when our Mishnah says v'chein begas, and Rava says that it's talking about maestros, it means that just like by Shabbos, a person is not allowed to stand in one rishos and drink in another rishos, unless he puts rosh over rubo into the place that he's drinking from, because just sticking his neck there is not enough. We're still concerned he's going to bring it out. So too by the gas, as far as maestros is concerned, a person shouldn't stand outside of the gas, stick his neck, just his neck, over and drink without taking maestros, unless Rosh of Arubo goes into the gas, goes over the gas. Only then is he allowed to drink without taking trumos and maestros from it. Okay, says the Mishnah now. A person can take water that's spilling out of a gutter if it's the matame asar tzvachim. If he's holding a kli that's within 10 tzvachim of the ground. That's considered to be in the karka of the Rosh Hashanah. The maschil is considered Rosh Hashanah, like a roof, which is samach lagag. So it's as if he's being motzi mayim Rosh Hashanah into and bringing it into Rosh Hashanah if he were to get too close. Minat tzinor mikol makom shosa, and from the tzinor, from a pipe where the opening of the pipe is more than 3 tefachim away from the roof, if the piat tzinor is within 10 tefachim of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, he's allowed to catch it straight out of the tzinor. He could put his mouth straight there out of the tzinor to catch it, because the tzinor is 3 tefachim is more than 3 tefachim away from the gag, and the tzinor itself is less than 4 tefachim wide. So the piat tzinor is considered a makom patur. So you're allowed to carry from makom patur to Rosh Hashanah. But if the piat tzinor is more than 10 tefachim off of the ground of the Rosh Hashanah, then you're allowed to be koleit mayim from the air like a maschila, but you wouldn't be allowed to put your mouth or a kli to the piat tzinor and to catch the water from it, because the chamor choshesh that maybe the tzinor will be 4 tefachim wide and will have a dinner of Rosh Hashanah, and you'll be carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So says Mar koleit in avol metzareif lo. The Mishnah allows dafka to be koleit mayim that's pouring out of the maschila after it goes into the airspace, but it doesn't allow you to put your mouth or a kli directly on the maschila to get the water out. My time, Amrav Nachman, hacha b'maschila paks mishosha samach legagaskinan. We're talking about that it's within 3 tefachim of the top of the roof. The kol paks mishosha samach legag kigagdami. It has a din of the roof itself, which is a Rosh Hashayachid. So you can't carry from the Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashanah. Tani nami hachi omir adam Rosh Hashayachid magbia yodu lemal me'asar tefachim. If you're in Rosh Hashayachid, you can elevate your hand more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Lepaks mishosha samach legag v'kolei to within 3 tefachim of the gag, and be kolit the mayim that pours out from the gag, from one gag to the other. Bavad shelo yitzarif. As long as you're not mitzarif your hand to the gag and to draw the water that way. And that's a riot to Rav Nachman, that it's sinner that's within 3 tefachim of the gag, has the same din of a gag. Tanya idach, liyamud adam rosh hashayachid yagbi yadul mal me'asar tefachim lepaks mishosha samach legag v'yitzarif, aval kolei tu v'shosa, that a person cannot stand in Rosh Hashayachid, meaning on his own roof, and pick up his hand lemal me'asar tefachim to within 3 tefachim of the other roof and take the water from there, but he could be collate from the air. air space as the water pours out and drink that way. So from the tzinar, which is more than three tefachim away from the gag, you can drink. So Tana, im yesh v'tzinar arba asr. If the tzinar is 4x4 tefachim, then it's going to be asr, because that's like taking from one rishos to another. So says the Mishnah, if you have a bar in rishos ram, and it's got a wall around the top of the bar that's 10 tefachim high, chalon shal gabav, if you're trying to fill water from that bar, from a window, from your rishos hayachid, you're allowed to do that. Ashba v'rishos ram gavah asar tefachim. If you have an ashba that's 10 tefachim high in a rishos rabim, chalon shal gabav, and there's a window on top of it, on top of that ashba, shov chalitotah, you could throw things out of your window onto that pile, because you're in a rishos yachid, the ashba's a rishos yachid. Shov chalitotah mayim b'shabbos, you could pour water into it on Shabbos, because the ashba's 10 tefachim high, it's a rishos yachid, like the bayis itself. So says Mar b'mayiskin, an ilim smuch halom alichul yasara. If we're talking about that it's the bar and the chulya are close to less than 4 tefachim from the bias, why do I need it to be a 10 tefach wall around this? So I'm Ravuna Chamayaskin, we're Mufleges Menachos al Arba'a, V'tay Mediko Chul Yasar. No, it's more than 4 tefachim away. So only if there's a 10 tefach wall around it. Haleka Chul Yasar, Kometaltim, Rishos Yachid, Rishos Yachid, Derek Rishos Rabim. Otherwise, I'd have to be concerned that you're carrying it through Rishos Rabim. But once it's a 10 tefach wall around it, by the time you get it over the 10 tefach wall, you're in the area of a Makum Ptur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Tema B'smucha, even if it's really right nearby. And the chiddush is that the bar is not 10 tefachim deep. So the bar and the chulya are mitzarif to the shear of 10 tefachim. That makes the bar a rishos hayachid. And that's the chiddush that you need the chulya, because the bar then becomes a rishos hayachid, where you're allowed to transfer things from the bayis to the bar. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots.